So if you would turn to Matthew chapter 25 in your Bibles, if you have them, and I'm going to go through this chapter. I feel like what God is saying, I'm going to try to tie this together. I have seen something tonight that I've never seen it before, and I'm going to do my best with God's help to pull this out and show it to you. But I'm going to have to lay some groundwork so that this will come out, if that makes sense. So bear with me. The thing I want to share before I go into this, literally verse 1 in Matthew 25 is where I'm going to start, talking about the 10 virgins. But I heard someone today say, they were at the event today, and I heard them say, there was a conversation going on about... I don't remember what it was about. I think it was about the karaoke night or something and the prize or something. Who knows? Anyway, I just overheard this conversation. And what stuck out to me was this. This girl talking said this. She said, I wouldn't do anything like that because I never get anything. I never win anything. I never get anything. And now she didn't, if you heard that conversation today, don't take this away from that because it really has nothing to do with what she was talking about. Just the phrase alone from that is what stuck out to me, and I feel like God wanted to say something about it. I'm just going to have to go into this to put it together. But there's what I want to pull out of this is I saw a common thread throughout this whole chapter that I've never seen before, because Jesus told parable after parable after parable. And then I got on 25, I looked back in 24, and even the last thing in 24, it was like he just kept hitting and hitting and hitting this common theme. And so let's just start with it. It says, then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now five of them were wise and five were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil for their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose, trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went out to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. So I want to pull something out of this. The difference between the wise and the foolish virgins, okay? The difference is this. The wise virgins, and you got to think, this is a culture where they did things different. Obviously, very different. Okay, so the bridegroom that's available, I mean, I don't know, never watched the show before, but like The Bachelor, similar kind of thing, but I've never seen the show, so I don't know. But I say that because I know there's at least, 10 women or something in that thing, I guess, or more. So you got these 25. Woo! Talk about bringing back the old. Never mind. Anyway, so you got all these virgins, okay? 10 virgins. And you got 5 wise and 5 foolish. So in their culture, at that time, the available bachelor come to town at a certain time, and their virgins would be lined up to go in, and he'd pick his bride. And I guess back then they still did more than one wife, of course. So who knows? I don't know. But anyway, he would pick his bride. So they would all, okay, they're going in there. The one thing these brides want is a husband. That's what they're all prepared for, right? That's what they took lamps for. That's what they got ready for. That's what they went to town for, to all gather together in this one place and be ready for him to come to town. So this is what they wanted, a groom. So the bridegroom is delayed in his coming, and they fall asleep. The difference between the wise virgins and the foolish virgins, the simple difference is one was prepared and the other was not. Why was the other one not prepared? Do you think it was simply not thinking about getting oil? I don't think so. I'll tell you why I don't think so. Because if you read all of the subsequent stories here, that parables that Jesus told, and even before, that wasn't what he was hitting on. I think the simple difference, what I see tonight, and what I hope that you'll see too, is this: laziness. One came prepared, ready, took a little extra effort to bring some more oil. The other five did not. They ran out. They come to them and they say, "Hey, can we have some of yours?" "No, because we'll run out. You go to town for yourself and buy some oil." By the time they get back, the bridegroom's already there. The door is shut. He answers the door, "Who are you?" "I don't know you." And then Jesus illustrates it, ties it in and says, "Watch therefore, you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." And he's saying, always be ready. Always be ready. Okay, so we got in the foolish virgin and the wise virgin story, we see a simple difference of one came prepared and one did not. And I see laziness in that. I see one just simply didn't bring the extra to be ready for a longer stay, which was carrying, I don't know if they had to carry it in a jar. I don't know if it was a little flat. I don't know all that. All I know is it was the extra effort to bring one more jar when they had a lamp and they didn't do it. Okay? So we move on to the parable of the talents. I'm not going to read. I'm going to try to paraphrase this best I can. So in this one, he says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a country, and who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And so he gave the one 5 talents. He gave the one 10 talents. He gave the one. And of course, we know the story. The one that got 5 and the one that got 10 multiplied what they had and got more. They put to work what they had and earned more, so that when the master returned, they had increased his goods. They worked what he gave them, and they had something to give at his return. And then the one, in fact, I do want to read that part. So the one that did not multiply, okay? "Then he who had received 1 talent and said, 'Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid, and I went and I hid your talent in the ground. Look there, you have what is yours.' But his Lord answered and said to him, 'You wicked and lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown, and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore, take his talent from him and give it to him who has 10. For everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away." You know, this simple sentence just keeps ringing over and over in my head since I heard it today. I never get anything. Even the one, take from the one who doesn't have, even what he has will be taken from him. Take from the one who had 1, give it to the guy who had 10. Why does that not make, that just doesn't make sense. Knowing God is good, knowing that he's loving, I read parables like this, and sometimes it makes my head spin. But if you really look, at this and you really pray and you really think about it, or you just, God just drops it on you like he did this afternoon, you see more in it than that. You see that he's saying something. What did he say to him? The one who had one, buried it in the ground, didn't put it to work, didn't multiply it. What did he say? He said, you wicked and lazy servant. So again, after the five wise and the five foolish virgins, we see that they want, you know, five of them didn't take the extra oil that they needed. They weren't prepared for a longer stay to, you know, they weren't ready for it. Then we see the parable of the stewards, and he gives the talents out, and then he literally says to the one, you wicked and lazy servant. So we see there that the one buried it in the ground. He didn't do anything with it. He didn't put it to work. He wasn't active with it. He just was like, well, master, I knew that you'd required something of me, and I was afraid of you, basically, is what he was saying. I was afraid because I knew you were a shrewd man, and you would come back expecting something in return for what you gave me. So I hid it in the ground, and here, this is back what you gave me. You wicked and lazy servant. Why? He gave back what he gave him. It's not like he kept it. It's not like he took it. Again, God's trying to get a point across. I really believe that Jesus is trying to illustrate something to us, and there's a deeper thing here. And it's on the same chord of laziness. Let's move on. The next thing Jesus says in Matthew 25, it says, the Son of Man will judge the nations. So it says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory with all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne with his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me in prison. And you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Then he will also say to those on his left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick, and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they will also answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. What's the difference in this story? One set of people, the righteous, were putting their hands to something. They were feeding. They were giving. They were clothing. They were visiting in prison. They were ministering. They were not lazy concerning the things of God. Now, let me make something very clear here. I'm not talking about physical world, what you would think, laziness. That's not what we're talking. We're talking about spiritual laziness, okay? Let's make this very clear. You can work 12 sevens and all the stuff that goes on in this area and work shift work and work and just be the most awesome worker in the world. And when it comes to good things of God, just be completely lazy. That is what this is talking about. When the master comes, blessed is he who when the master comes, that the master finds doing what he expects. Right? Being active, doing good things, reaching out, ministering to the poor, reaching out and doing the things that we know to do as believers. not lazy concerning the things of God, not lazy concerning our calling, not lazy concerning prayer, not lazy concerning, you know what, let's boil this down. Really simple. Just doing the right thing. Sometimes. Most times. Actually, you know what, all the time. Because it all ties together to doing the right thing. When the master comes, because Jesus talks about in several of these places that he will come when we're not expecting. The bridegroom came when they weren't expecting him. That's why five of them didn't have enough oil to last, because he came either a little or a lot late. Either way, they didn't have enough oil to make it till time. And I've heard this thing preached so many times in so many different ways, but always usually centered around the Holy Spirit being the oil. And yes, I get that. That's true. I don't disagree with that. But I think it's that there's more to it. I think there's more to it. Because I think that if we are lazy concerning the spiritual things, if we are lazy to do what's right, if we are lazy to give of ourselves, if we are lazy to give of our time, if we are lazy concerning the things of like just reading the scripture and praying every day and spending time with Jesus, if we're lazy concerning the things that God has already told us as an individual to do, to be busy about, and if we're not practicing those things and keeping those things out there and increasing our talents and increasing in those things, and if we're not doing those things as a habit, then he will come when not expecting. You know what? Let's boil this down. Okay, if I have a heart for Jesus and I love him, I may have seasons where I'm slack. You will. I will. We all have. But those seasons should not turn into years. They should not even turn into months. Those seasons should be short seasons, and you should get out of them as quickly as possible. Because I'm not saying, he's trying to illustrate something here. This wicked servant obviously had a heart that he just wanted to tuck it away and not be active with it. And the five foolish virgins, they just didn't want to take a little extra oil. So I'm just seeing this common thread among this. And then he illustrates about the coming, you know, in the end, and separating the sheep from the goats. And one fed him and visited him in prison and brought him food and clothes and did this. You know, if you did it to the least of these, you did it to me. So he's just talking about just ministry, period. Just loving on people and giving and doing good things. One group of people did it, one group didn't. So what's he illustrating? He's illustrating that we should always make sure. I don't even want to say it that way. It's not even making sure. If we love Jesus, this stuff comes natural. If we love Jesus, we will pick up the extra bottle of oil and take it with us. If we love Jesus, then we'll feed and we'll clothe and we'll be active to do those things. Not just within the church, but when we're outside. Both, all of the above, wherever we're at. If we love Jesus, we'll be about the spiritual disciplines. Because we want to do them. Illustrated here is a heart in the five that just didn't want to lift the other hand, spiritually speaking, to do a little extra effort. And then the others who didn't put the effort in to do the things of ministry. He's talking about ministry when he's talking about giving and feeding and, you know, reaching prison and all that. So, simply speaking, he's illustrating two different hearts here. I really believe he is. And we can get stuck in seasons where we get spiritually lazy and we can have those things, but they, you know, as believers, those times should be short. And if you find yourself in one of those seasons, then you definitely, when God points that out, you want to get out of it quick. But it's not just the disciplines and it's not just the giving. It's doing the right thing. See, sometimes in our lives, we have things that God has told us not to do. It can be a number of things. It can be the simple things of the Ten Commandments. Don't lie, don't cheat, don't steal, don't commit adultery, all of those things. We all know that. And sometimes we go through life and we think, well, he's not really paying attention. It's not like he's going to come tomorrow, so I can go ahead and do this. It's not like he's going to come next week, so I can get away with this a little bit. It's not like he's going to come next month. I mean, you know, I've been 2 months now. I can go two more. You know, I can keep doing this. No. See, that is the heart of the five foolish. That is the heart of the one that hit it in the ground. That is the heart of the one that didn't minister. Does that make sense? That is the heart that if we find ourselves having, we have to deal with it. Jesus promises us forgiveness. He promises us new life. He promises us his blood. He promised us a new covenant. He promised to restore us. He promised to put us back in right relationship with God. All of those things are available to us. But you know, the thing is too, that even that, those promises are sitting out there. They'll sit there all day if I don't go pick them up. If I don't get off my butt and do something, then that stuff will sit there. The promises will sit there. The good things will sit there. And we'll find ourselves like the five foolish, or we'll find ourselves like the one hiding the talent in the ground. Before verse 25, the last thing in verse 24, I want to point this out to you. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Assuredly, I say to you that he will make him a ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him and at an hour that he is not aware of. And he will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You know, we live in a day and time when everything is about being politically correct or saying the soft and gentle, nice, wonderful, ear-tickling, feel-good feeling thing, right? I'm just got to be real tonight. Sometimes Jesus was doing it here. And I was just looking at chapter 25, but he was doing it at the end of 24. He probably was doing it before that and after. I didn't look. I'm just saying, I'm trying to illustrate something. Jesus was driving home a point. Don't be like this. Be like this. Don't have this heart. Don't hide it in the ground. Don't be foolish. Don't do this, because in the end, there will be a separating of the sheep and the goats. In the end, there will be rewards and punishment. In the end, I'm coming back for a bride. In the end, I'm coming when you're not expecting. Now, am I preaching tonight about the second coming? Is there a second? Yes, absolutely. We don't hear it anymore. Not enough. There is a second coming of Jesus Christ. It will happen. But regardless of if that happens in our lifetime or not, let me make one thing clear. We all have the same responsibility that Jesus finds us so doing. That when he looks down on us, well, he's always seeing us. I mean, it's not like we can hide anything. But when he looks at you, when he looks at me at any moment, at any given time, and I'm not saying we got to be always doing something all day long. I'm not saying that. But I can ask a question. And I feel like Jesus would ask this question. When was the last time you did this? When was the last time you did that? Was it a day ago? Was it a week ago? Was it a month ago? Was it years ago? See, there's a difference. There is a thing here. There is such a thing as having a heart. See, the wicked heart is lazy. If our heart's full of wickedness, laziness drags it down. It fills up like a water balloon with laziness if our heart is wicked. That's what it does. But see, God wants our heart to be full of His goodness and His presence. And if it is, and if it's not, we've got to ask Him, forgive me, Jesus, fill me, pull me out of this rut, pull me out of this stench, pull me out of this place, whatever it is. Or I give you my heart, I don't know you, I never have known you. Whatever that place is, it doesn't matter. What matters is that we realize it and we say, Jesus, forgive me. And Jesus, restore in me that right heart. Proverbs 21:20. I want to read that. There is desirable treasure and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man squanders it. There is desirable treasure and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man squanders it. See, we can be active about our calling and our gifts and our talents and all of the things that God speaks to our hearts to do and things that we commit to and plug into and make commitments we make to Him to make Him Lord of our life and commitments we make to Him to live for Him, commitments we make to Him when we receive Him into our hearts and we declare that we're a Christian and all of those things. We make commitments when we do all that stuff. And we can keep those commitments and we can be walking about our daily lives and our lives or whatever. And there are seasons where we get slack, yes, but those slack seasons should be very short. They should not last long. And if we find ourselves in those seasons, then we've got to find out why we're in those seasons. Where is the wickedness coming in? Is there disobedience? Is there a lack of doing this or a lack of doing that? And you know what? It's always simple. It is not complicated. The enemy wants us to think that it's complicated. The fact of the matter is if we're being foolish, then we're squandering the things that God has given us opportunity to do. If we're being foolish, then we're squandering the time that He has given us to get close to Him in this life. If we're foolish, then we're squandering the time that He's given us to learn more about Him. If we're wise, then there's oil in our house. There's valuable things, like Proverbs says. Then we're being a wise servant. Then we're going to be about the Father's business. And like the man who went away and he put his servant over the place and he comes back to find and collect and whatever, he will either find us having been doing good and busy and ministering and doing all the things that we know as Christians to do. These are all the basics. They're all the simple stuff. But it's actions and relationship. It's actions and the relationship with God. They're always tied together. You see, if our relationship with Jesus lacks and laziness comes in and wickedness begins to fill our heart and all those things happen, then our actions will show it. They will. We'll begin to recede. We'll begin to pull out of things. We'll begin to slow down on things. We'll begin to stop doing things. We'll begin to stop showing up at things that we're supposed to show up for and doing things we're supposed to do. I know that, you know, just simply in the lifestyle of an addict, and I've been there, when you're in that lifestyle, laziness just through the charts. Why? Because we're squandering life. When we're addicted to things, when we're addicted to drugs and alcohol or whatever it is, if you've ever been addicted to anything in the past, it squanders life. It squanders the good things that God gives us. Why? Because wickedness fills our heart and we begin to become lazy and we don't want to do anything. And that's just talking in the natural. The same thing happens in the spirit. The enemy uses those things to detract us from the things that God has called us to do, to pull us away from the things. And all the while, we can be completely active in all these other things and be, I'm not lazy. I ain't lazy. I'm busy. I work 50 hours a week. I'm doing things. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. But I'm asking a question today. Seriously, between you and Jesus, ask Him, What are the things that he's called you to do? What are the talents that he's left you with responsibility for to increase? Your gifts and talents are different than mine. What you're called to do, we work together on some things and on other things. We pool our efforts and we pool our gifts and talents together. But the thing, here's the thing. If 10 people, like the virgins, are together and 5 are pushing the cart and 5 are riding, that cart's going to go a lot slower, right? The kingdom of heaven works the same way. What we saw today was all these different ministries coming together, different churches coming together, and working really hard today, being out there, being in the heat, doing all this stuff. And what, I can't tell you how many times today I thought, oh man, I'd love to go home. Because it was hot. I ain't gonna lie. That's the flesh. But then I would look and I'd say, well, maybe one more person. Maybe one more person will come up for baptism. Maybe one more person, you know? So we ended up staying all the way till what, after 5? But here's the thing. All that aside, here's the thing. What's important is this. Sometimes it's just important to know that our heart, where our heart is. See, sometimes we take for granted and we don't pay attention to that. We don't pay attention to where our heart is. And it doesn't mean that if we leave something early that we're in wrong. It doesn't mean if we don't show up for something on time that we're wrong. It doesn't mean that if we don't do this and don't do that occasionally that we're messed up. I'm not preaching that. I'm talking about habits. I'm talking about not just seasonal stuff. I'm talking about lifelong track record stuff. If God leaves these 3 with talents, the 3 that he left the talents with in that parable are going to do the same thing every time. The one who got one is going to bury it every time. Does this make any sense? It's about our heart. It's about what we do on the everyday. I may have seasons where I slack. I may have seasons where I struggle. But ultimately, you'll be able to look back at your life and see a record and see a track record of faithfulness. And if we're not there, and if you've never been there, you can be there. Because Jesus, the awesome thing about Jesus is he came to break that repetitive, habitual stuff. See, the thing in the story of the talents and the foolish virgins, it was to illustrate 2 different hearts. But see, the good thing and the good news is that Jesus Christ came to set us free. It's the good news is that Jesus Christ can put inside of us a good heart and a right heart. But the same principle applies to this. We got to get up and do something with it. We have to get up to receive it. We have to take a step of faith to receive that heart. If I don't have that heart and I need that heart and I stay sitting when God says, here you go, but he stands back here, then what happens? I can sit back and be foolish or I can step up and be wise. Does that make sense to y'all? Because I really feel like that's what God said. I mean, I just feel like he's saying, don't be lazy concerning spiritual things. Search your heart today. Find out where, if there's any place you're off, and if you are, fix it. As simple as that. He is good. He loves us. He wants to restore us. He wants to forgive us. He wants to see us on the right track and the right path. And yes, there is a day when he's coming again. But the fact remains solid and true that for the person who lives in the day and hour when Jesus comes back a second time, it's the same requirement for the person that lived 2,000 years ago. And us today, if he's going to wait another 1,000 or 5 days, whatever, we don't know. But the fact of the matter is this, that he is looking for those of us who choose to have the heart of a wise servant or a wise virgin, to be prepared, to be ready, to take the extra effort, to do the little bit extra to go after Jesus, the little bit extra of passion to go after him, the little bit extra of doing a good deed or doing reaching out to somebody, of feeding somebody, of reaching out to the hungry, that those things that we make a part of our life, not a duty and not a chore. Do you understand that these things are not supposed to feel like chores when you hear them? Do you see the difference? That if when these things are mentioned about ministering to the poor and the needy and the hungry and those in prison and spiritual disciplines of prayer and reading the word, you realize that when those things are mentioned, if they feel like a chore, then you're off. But if they feel good and they ignite passion, then we're in the right place. Because the good servants in these stories, the things that he illustrated in these parables, those who did the right thing, who were about the Father's business and doing the Master's business and doing what they knew the Father wanted, or they knew the Master wanted, all of these, and the wise virgins that took the extra oil, all of these illustrate that heart that is about doing the right thing, but they weren't doing it because it was a chore. They were doing it because they wanted to do it. Go back and read the stories over and over again until it clicks. It will click. I'm telling you, you'll see it. It's a common thread woven through this whole chapter. So if you guys would stand up today, I want to close with this. Just ask Jesus. Just close your eyes and bow your heads for a few moments here and ask Jesus in your own way, in your own heart, right here, right now. And just say, Jesus, you know what? You don't even really have to ask. If when these things are mentioned, does it feel like a chore? If it does, then ask Jesus to say, just say, Jesus, come and touch my heart. Forgive me. Forgive me for anything where I'm off. Forgive me for hiding the talent. Forgive me for burying it. Forgive me, God, for not doing the spiritual disciplines. Forgive me for whatever it is. You know those things. The Holy Spirit speaks to your heart. He speaks to you. You hear his voice. You know what? Sometimes his voice is just instantly knowing what it is. It's just instantly knowing. Well, you're waiting for an audible voice. Well, sometimes you just know. That is your audible voice. You just know. We know what's right. We all do. So Jesus, I just ask you right now to move over every heart in this place, God, to reveal to any and all of us, God, where our hearts are at today. Because God, I know that when you come back, or if you don't, whatever, I know the illustration is this and the point is this. I do not, none of us here want to be lazy about the things that we know that you require of us. We don't want to be lazy about the things that you love, the things that you care about, the things that are important to the kingdom of heaven. God, I don't want to be found putting you second place to whatever I'm doing when you come back. You know what? That's what it really is. That's what it really is. Is God second place to what you really want to do? Is he first place, or is he second place to what you really want to do? Is he what you really want to do? Is he what you really want in life? Is he what it boils down to? Or is what you want to do number one and he number two? You need to settle that in your hearts today. You need to settle that right now in your heart and mind today. Where is Jesus in this thing? Is he number one? Is he the most important? Or is he number two? Because if he's number two, you won't pick up that extra bottle of oil. If he's number two, you won't be found so doing when he comes, or when he looks, or when he's around, whatever it is. So Jesus, I just ask you right now to move on our hearts, God. Illustrate to us this truth. God, let us be sure today that when we leave here, we're right with you, that our hearts are in the right place, that our hearts are full of your presence, that we receive from you whatever it is you want, God. And so today, in Jesus' name, I just thank you, Father, and ask you to let this word sink deep into our hearts, God. Let us study it out for ourselves. Let us pull it apart and inspect it.